Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a calm conversation that is meant to help you drift your way to sleep, perhaps. I'm your host, Marco Timpano. Thank you for joining us. And today I have the special pleasure of saying hello and welcoming our guest, Nima Karazi, back to the podcast. Welcome, Nima.
Oh, hey, Marco. It's so nice to be here again.
It's wonderful to have you, and I want to thank you because, if you can't tell, I'm a little under the weather. And so when Nima found out, he's like, I'll record with you. Amanda's working. And I was like, this is wonderful. So from Los Angeles to Toronto, we bring you today's podcast, kind of like a bird flying from one city to the other.
Look at that.
Look at that, right? That brings us to our topic today, which is birds and bird watching.
Oh, yeah.
You have a fondness for that, right, Nima?
I have always appreciated birds, and I didn't know that it was a thing that you could do as a younger person.
Oh, okay.
I thought birding and bird watching and all that was, you had to be like a retired person.
Sure.
And go on trips to Costa Rica to go find the quetzal bird. And, you know, that kind of stuff. And then when I started talking to some people about birds, someone just mentioned the Merlin Bird app.
And oh, yes.
Sparked everything for me. And then that was just the beginning of my new life as a birder.
So, all right. So tell us, who introduced you and tell us about the app?
You know, it was... I know you and I, Marco, are very people-oriented, chatty, talkative, very approachable.
Sure.
And I was just out somewhere in a park, and there was a lady holding her phone up to this bird that was chirping. And I asked her, I said, are you recording that so that you can figure it out later? And she said, no, it's this app. It's called Merlin. Now, at the time, and actually for the first like 6 months, I thought it was named after the wizard,
right?
Merlin from King Arthur.
Because it's spelled out, that way.
It's spelled that way.
Yeah, sure.
But Merlin is a type of hawk.
Right.
So there's like a Merlin falcon or a Merlin raptor of some sort.
Sure.
So she tells me about this app and she's like, you can take a photo or you can do a sound recording. It's pretty good about figuring out, you know, which bird you're listening to. And even if there's multiple birds, and you can track them and you can have a life list of birds. And I was like, that's it. And so I just spent the rest of the day downloaded the app and just walking around and trying to capture as many digitally capture as many birds as I could. And then it just grew from there.
And then sometimes you'll send me photos of the birds that you've captured, which I always love.
Oh, yeah.
So what are some of your highlight birds that you've captured on your Merlin app?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. So this is a good question. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Because you're into birds a little bit.
I am.
So let me ask you this. This is controversial here.
No, sure.
In the birding community,
yes,
digitally capture these birds,
mm-hmm,
we have an understanding, I feel like,
Okay.
That if you see the bird or if you hear the bird in person, you may digitally capture said bird.
Okay, yeah.
Does that count if you go to a zoo and they have an exhibit of puffins and you take a picture of a puffin or an emperor penguin or some great-billed stork or great-billed something or heron or something?
Yeah.
And you didn't see it in nature, but you get to see it in captivity.
That's a great question. So, first of all, if there was a puffin exhibit and you went to it, kudos to you. I was in Newfoundland recently where puffins, you know, roam. And we were on a ship. And I said to Amanda, as we're on this, ferry going from Newfoundland to Saint-Pierre-Miquelon. And I said to Amanda, I said, the only thing I haven't seen on this trip is a puffin. I go, how great would it be if a puffin landed, we were out on the ferry, landed on this railing that was right in front of me. And as I said this, Nima.
No way.
No, it didn't happen. I'm just going to make sure everyone's expectations are managed here. As it happened, a wrapper for a chocolate bar that I had in my pocket had blown out of my pocket and flew up right in front. And it was white. And for a split second, for the smallest second in the world, my heart was full because I thought a puffin had landed on my command. Now, I captured the wrapper. I put it, tucked it in my front pocket so it wouldn't fly away. But we both had a really good laugh. But all I wanted to do was see a puffin and I didn't see them. So did you see the puffins?
Yeah. No, I saw them. That's
so special. I say it counts, my friend, because I was in puffin territory and I didn't see a puffin. So I'm because I have a little teensy bit of jealousy that you saw a puffin and I didn't, I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to give you your puffin credits here and now.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Is that a train?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, your hearing is exceptional. I'm here and the train is just outside my window and you're all the way over there and you're like, wait, I think I hear.
Yeah, but because that's background noise for you right now.
Oh, yeah. That's just every day. It's usually on every like half hour, 45 minutes.
Earlier when we were supposed to record, I didn't tell you this. There was steam rollers in front of my house. Steam rollers, the ones that squish like the coyote and the Roadrunner curtains. Like I was like, what is making all this noise? I absolutely cannot record. And there's just steam rollers steaming along on the street, putting the gravel down or whatever. And I was like, really? Of all things, steam rollers? But anyways, back to you and your Merlin app and your captured birds. Some of your highlights.
So some of my highlights, I captured speaking of roadrunners, I captured a roadrunner. That was really special for me because I'd never actually seen one in real life. I've only ever seen them in cartoons.
Sure.
I captured a grackle.
Oh, grackles. We have them here all the time, grackles. They're awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love their sound.
They're like the crow's glamorous cousin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're like a skinny, sexy Hollywood crow.
Yeah, because they've got a shimmer of like green blue to them. Yeah.
God, they're
like
pretty.
Sparkly eyes and they're like coy. Yeah, I love them.
Also, I like a real simple, I'm a big raven guy. Yeah. I love ravens. Like they're so smart, they're so big. And there's this one raven, this male by my house when I go on this walk, that he does this sound that sounds like a wood block.
Or
that you're hitting. Well, he has the feathers.
The male. I see. Okay.
Like the mane of a whatever you call a feathery mane.
Oh, see. I thought you only heard the sound. So you've seen this.
I could see him. He's massive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a big guy. And he just sits on top of the tree and he does that wood blocky sound.
Sure.
And you can see his throat vibrating when he's doing it.
Wow.
And just like I play drums.
Yeah.
And I've made that sound. And I always think like the amount of things it took for me to make that sound, I had to go buy a clave. I had to get the wood block to be the right wood block. I had to get the, you know, all these things to in order. Like, I had to go to three different stores to make sure. And then he's just, he just does it.
Right.
It's amazing.
What's a clave?
A clave is like a wooden block that you hit with another wooden block.
Okay.
So that's a
percussion. So it's an instrument. Oh, it's a percussion instrument.
Anything that you hit together to make a noise is percussive. Percussion, so it's a percussion.
But
this is the one that messes me up, is a piano has strings on the inside.
Right.
That the hammer hits the string. And because of that, it's considered a percussion because you're tapping the string with a hammer on the inside.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So here's one of my cool bird encounters.
Oh, tell me.
So, you know, Canada has birds that are native to our area that often will sort of shimmy down to the U.S. But, you know, there's certain birds that we have that, you know, are often associated with our country, like the Canada goose. That's not the bird I'm talking about. Those are the ones that we always kind of try to avoid. They're very messy birds. They poop everywhere and
they poop everywhere.
Yeah. And they clamor in large groups and they'll often, you know, be in front of you and you're trying to drive and you've got to wait for these geese to go, et cetera, et cetera. But another bird that is, I think, Quebec's provincial bird, Amanda and I are driving home from the cottage. And as we're driving, and this is a crisp winter afternoon, just to set the scene. Snow on the ground. It's bitterly cold. There's a snap of, you know, frosty breath that comes out of your mouth. But we're in the car, nice and toasty warm, driving. And as we're driving down a farm field road, so you can just see nature for miles and miles, on a fence post is a snowy owl.
Oh.
And so Amanda turns and she goes, is that a snowy? And as she's saying it, the owl flaps its wings and starts to fly parallel with the car.
Oh, my gosh.
And the bird is, A, gorgeous, but B, it's a large bird, larger than I would have expected, right? And so I'm driving with this like pterodactyl-sized bird next to me that's like, you know, just stricken awe in me. And it's just so majestic and beautiful and like, just like, look at me. And then it was gone. And it was like, that was an incredible moment. So that, I think, is one of my favorite bird experiences.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
There's a movie called My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, I love it.
With Joe Pesci. And
Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei won the Academy Award for that movie.
Ralph Macchio. Fred Gwynn, who played the Munster, the Herman Munster, was the judge. He was fantastic. Love that film.
It was great. Yeah. Good movie.
Great movie.
And when Vinny goes to the cabin to go stay, there's a screech owl.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a screech owl before, but you hear this, like, it screeches.
Sure.
It's so loud. And he gets so upset, he grabs his gun and goes and shoots in the middle of the night. And then the camera goes from the front door of the cabin where he just fired six rounds and goes back inside and zooms out in one shot. It zooms out. The screech owl is on the tree branch. And then just at that moment, it does one last shriek. And I was like, I never knew you existed, but I'm in love with you.
Yeah.
And that and the kestrel falcon have been two birds that I've always had an adoration for.
Sure.
And I met them both at, there was like a farmer's market event in, you know, Redondo Beach or some beach city. And there was a bird captivity rescue center that had a tent. And they had birds there, and they had a kestrel falcon and a screech owl.
Wow.
And it was like amazing. And I was like, can I take a photo? And they said, no. And I said, I could put $5 in your tip jar. And they're like, you can take as many photos as you want.
There you go. That's nice. That scene you just mentioned from My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was you who told me this. that was a fluke that the owl, like they did not, like it was just a happenstance moment that when they panned that the owl on cue knew it was on camera, knew it was its good side, hit its mark, did its action. No, that's a, you know, it was like everyone was like thrilled with it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Now, if you look it up, I think the story's even better than how I'm telling it. But yeah, one of the birds that always impresses me when I see it is the cardinal. Whenever I see a cardinal, I'm always like struck by it because I'm like, oh, a cardinal, like, you know, it's so impressive, like this red bird out of nowhere. I'll often see it.
Seems regal almost.
There's something, and they say, you know, when you see a cardinal, it's the memory of a loved one who's passed on, right? So it's always a lovely, the cardinals are associated with that. I mean, I see blue jays all the time, and they're not the nicest birds when it comes to the bird. Not that birds need to be nice. I shouldn't try to humanize them, but they can be aggressive. So I see them all the time, but they're not as impressive to me as the Cardinals. So I guess I'm a St. Louis fan versus Toronto fan. Yeah.
I visited Toronto when I was a kid, and I have so many positive memories with Toronto. And then when I saw Niagara Falls, I saw from the Toronto side. I've never seen it from the New York side, nor will I, because it's not the Toronto side's the better side anyway.
We'll say the Ontario side because Toronto's about 2 hours from it. Yeah. So it's okay.
It's all the same to me.
Sure. Or the Canadian side. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
So I saw that. And then my first baseball game was a Blue Jays game.
Oh, was it really?
And so this is a fun little story.
Okay.
So my father told me and my coworkers got 4 tickets for the Blue Jays versus the Angels. So my dad tells me I have these 4 tickets to the Toronto Blue Jays game. They're playing the Angels. Why don't you come down? Me and 2 of my coworkers, the 4 of us will go see this game. And I go, sure, let's go. I get down there. I take the bus. I get down to his work. We drive over to the thing. We get there 2 hours early. My dad and his friends are like, all right, we're going to, you know, have some drinks and, you know, eat some chips and then go inside in like an hour. So they drink a little tequila, whatever.
Sure.
We go to get into the game and my dad comes back and goes, the tickets are for tomorrow.
Oh.
So we ended up spending the whole game listening to it on the radio.
Oh my goodness.
Just being in the parking lot, and they had a blast. And then we went back the next day. The next day we went back and the Blue Jays were losing, I want to say like 5-1 against the Angels. And my dad goes, look, it's the 7th inning stretch. Let's go home.
Sure.
And I'm like, Dad, you never know. And he's like, no. I'm telling you, I know. And I'm like, let's know.
Let's beat traffic.
No one cares.
Yeah.
We get in the car, we drive home. I check the next day and the Blue Jays won 9-7. And I was like, I am never leaving a game early ever again.
Oh my goodness.
But I've always had that. So every time I see a Blue Jay, I think of Toronto.
Okay, sure.
And so every time I think of Toronto, I think of you.
Thank you.
So now all the Blue Jays and also all the Scrub Jays, because I can't really identify the difference unless they're standing right next to each other.
Sure.
So every Blue Jay, and we have a ton of Scrub Jays out here.
Are Scrub Jays blue though? Are they blue in color? Oh, they are? Okay. Yeah.
I think they're just a little smaller than a Blue Jay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. But they're very territorial. They're like what's that Australian bird that attacks a bunch? It's with an M, I think.
Does it make the big sound? That really big sound? I can't think of it now. Amanda can do that sound. She does one bird and it's an Australian bird. It'll come. Oh, no, really? It's the kookaburra. She does the kookaburra.
Oh, yeah. That's the licorice bird.
Yeah. Licorice bird.
There's a kookaburra licorice that's out of Australia that has the picture of the kookaburra on the front.
No, I can't. Do you know that we had a bird this past summer? Oh, I wish I could remember it. It's like it looks like an Oreo, but it's not.
Okay.
That was very aggressive towards people this year. And a couple of my friends were bombarded by them this year. As we're speaking, I'm going to text my friend Trevor.
Yeah, text your friend and ask because it might be the same bird, because that bird also exists in Denver, Colorado. it's just not as territorial or as aggressive when we're there. So it's just really pretty to look at. It's this beautiful black bird, and it's got this like white stripe on its wing. And it's really, it's, and they also, they're in like small groups of like three or four.
Sure.
And they all just kind of hang out, and mostly on the ground, which is weird. Like, you don't think about it, but most birds stay in trees. But when you see birds, you know, usually you're not looking up to see the bird when you're walking around.
Right.
So you'll see like a pigeon is on the street, or, right. you know, and so when you see these birds, like ravens and crows and stuff, you just hang out on the ground because they're scavengers.
Right.
So these birds are also on the ground too, but they're real pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they can be real territorial. In Australia, they attack bicyclists and stuff if they come by their nests under a tree, and they'll chase them for blocks.
Wow. Wow. That's nifty. Yeah. I've texted Trevor. We'll see if he gets back to us before the end of the podcast. But, but yeah, I'm just texting random friends about birds. They're gonna be like, what is this text you're sending me? I know that we were talking about jays a second ago. The gray jay is also called the Canada jay. And I'm curious to see that one if I haven't already seen it. And I'm just trying to think of other birds that I really enjoy spotting in the wild. Is there any bird that you have yet to see that's on your list?
Okay, so another little story for you.
Okay.
When my dad and I lived in La Habra with my mom and my sister, there was a little Costa Rican restaurant that had a green quetzal bird on the side of it. And if you're not familiar with quetzal birds, they're like a little bird. They're like the size of like a, I don't know, a finch or like a sparrow.
Sure.
But they have these really long, gorgeous green feathered tails.
Right. I know this about you. I thought you saw this at the farmer's market.
No. It was a restaurant that had the picture of this quetzal bird.
Okay, sorry. Go
on the side of it. And so my dad looked and said, "Oh, what kind of bird is that?" And I said, "Oh, Dad, this is the most interesting bird in the world, because there's a tribe in South America that, in order to become a man in this tribe, you have to bring back a feather from this bird. And you can't kill the bird because it's a sacred, holy bird.
Sure.
So you have to track this bird from the age of 12 until you can find a feather. And sometimes you'll be walking, you'll be tracking this bird day and night, and then the bird will just fly across a waterfall and you'll just miss out. That's it. You lost your bird. You have to go back, and then you have to do remedial work, and you can never be considered a man in this tribe."
Right.
And anyway, I went on and on and told all this great story. And years later, my dad was telling me, he was telling about me to somebody. You know, Nima told me this story about this bird in South America where and I had totally forgotten about it. And I said, "Dad, I made that up." And he goes, "What part of it?" And I said, "All of it. I actually don't even know if that's a real bird." And then I looked it up, and it is the quetzal bird from Costa Rica. And it is actually somewhat sacred. It's actually endangered as well.
Oh, okay.
And it's rare to find them or see them, but there's tours you can go on in Costa Rica and you can find this bird, and it's on their money. Always get that. So I would be so happy if I could see a quetzal bird in real life. I think it would be amazing. I think that would be one of the coolest things ever.
That is awesome. Would you go on that tour?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, I have a really bad tendency when I travel where I want to do things that I really want to do. I want to save it like dessert and do it at the end of the trip. Okay. So if there's like, I don't know, a special drive to some place I want to do, or if there's like a walk in nature that I'd like to do, I want to save that for the last, so that if there's anything not so great in the middle of the trip, at least we left on a high note. And the problem with that is, more often than not, that thing that you did that you had a really great time doing,
sure,
you wish you would have done earlier so that you could have done it twice, maybe, if there was time allowing.
I hear you.
So now I'm like, maybe we just do the dessert first. Like, that's one of the first 2 day things that we do. And then if we really like that, we can maybe schedule one more towards the end of the trip.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. But it's also what makes it special too, that you did it once and that was it. And until next time, you know,
that's true.
Trevor did get back to me, but
can I guess?
No, he gave me the wrong bird.
What did he say?
He said starling.
That's not a starling. No, I think if I'm not mistaken, Marco, it's a magpie.
Maybe you're right. Magpie.
It's a magpie. Because those
look up
birds in Colorado are just as beautiful as the Australian version, but they're not aggressive. But the Australian ones are super aggressive. And they even have special, during magpie nesting season, they have special bicycle helmets that have wires on them to discourage the magpies from attacking bicyclists. And you have to be very careful. It's like there's signs and everything telling you in Australia that magpies might attack you.
Okay. It's not the magpie. Oh, it's not the starling. I've looked it up.
Yes. Tell me.
So it wasn't last year, but in 2021,
okay,
the red-winged blackbirds were diving people in Toronto like it was going out of style. So the red, I'm just going to take a snapshot of it.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear that? I didn't think I had that on. I'm going to see if I can send it to you. I'll see if I can send it to you just so you can see what it looks like. I'm going to do it old school. I'm going to send it to the wrong person now. I'm sure everyone's like, this is really fascinating podcast right now. Marco's sending snapshots to Nima. So this is what the bird looked like. You know, part of the reason I got so into birds was, and I've said it on this podcast before, was the game Wingspan that we play, because I've learned so much about birds playing, and I've also realized the birds that I like and that I'll go for are birds that I'm like, oh, I really like that bird. Like I would like to see that bird. And there's other birds from the game that are probably really nice birds, but their powers in the game just irritate me. So I don't like the bird. Like, you know, the bird on the box cover?
Scissor tail?
I don't like
so
that
pretty.
Bird. Pretty bird.
Oh, because he's a crummy card bird.
Yeah, it's not a great card. And so I'm like, this bird, I can't stand it. And it's on the token when you play. I forget what the name of the bird. I want to say scissor tail something or other. And I'm like, I don't like that bird. And then there's other birds that I'm like, I love a nuthatch. I think they're great birds. The thrasher bird.
Oh,
The thrasher bird's an incredible bird. Like what it does. I'm not even going to say it on the podcast because it's quite aggressive, but wow. So some birds are just really cool birds.
Yeah. We actually got lucky where we live. There's a magnolia tree in front of our house.
Oh, beautiful.
And hummingbirds love to nest in magnolia trees. So 2 years ago in February, we had a hummingbird nest and she had two eggs.
Oh, wow.
And then last year we had one that she had two eggs. And so in February we should have, and I have this little thing where I share the video with all my friends. And so I usually just update that. Although last year I didn't do it, but I'll do it this year. But that's another bird I love a lot.
Will you do it on your Instagram?
Oh yeah, I could do it on my Insta. Yeah.
Okay. So where can people find you?
Oh yeah. So I'm across all social media. I am at Nima Speaks.
All right.
So NIMASPEAKS.
And
or Nima's Peaks, you know.
Sure. Sure. That works too. I think I heard your wife coughing in the background there in case anybody's wondering.
Yeah.
It wasn't a starling that got trapped in the house. Why is it that hummingbirds like to nest in magnolia trees?
Because the leaves of magnolia trees are so large and they hang down, then they give enough cover because there's a bunch of squirrels and stuff that come up and pester them, and then other birds also
that
are bigger than them. And unfortunately, there's just, you know, people. there's animals that eat eggs.
Right, of
so
course.
So they have to try to cover and protect. But they're just so beautiful, and they sit there, and they're patient. And usually around February, it's a little bit rainy out here. But that mama bird just sits on that nest and is just so patient and waits
wow.
and goes and gets real necked. Because we have like hummingbird feeders in front of our house, like hanging.
Yes. And,
but she goes and gets, she never drinks from the feeder. She goes and gets it from real flowers.
Right.
She's organic, you know, she yeah. doesn't.
Listen, when you live in California, it's part and parcel of what goes on. Well, Nima,
yeah,
listen.
We got the one.
I got to thank you so much for, you know, last minute, I just sent Nima a message and he's like, yeah, let's do it. And I really appreciate it. I appreciate you and I appreciate all the bird talk that we've had both on the podcast and listeners. I can tell you, we have a lot of bird conversations off the podcast too.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you again, Marco, for teaching my wife and I how to play Wingspan. That was very patient of you to take your time.
I'm
going to
just, you cut out there when you said, I want to thank you, Marco.
Oh, okay. So I want to thank you, Marco, so much for teaching my wife and I how to play Wingspan. It took a lot of patience on your end, but I really appreciate that. So it's a game that we still play every now and again, just yeah. the two of us. And she was actually playing solo. It's a great game. You could even play solo. But and then every time she would lose to the non-existent player.
Yes.
And so we would call the non-existent player Nep, because that's non-existent player.
Sure.
And I go, how'd it go? She go, oh, Nep beat me again.
Oh my goodness.
Nep's a monster.
We just got the Oceania expansion.
Oh, nice.
With the Nectar.
Oh, okay.
It's a different game, my friend. It's a different game. I'm just saying. Anyways, until next time, thank you for
all
listening.
Right, buddy.
And I hope you were able to listen to the podcast today and either get a little grain for yourself or at least fall asleep. Until next time.